Sorry, guys, I should have pushed that conference recording earlier, but I am taking notes. So, in the meantime, the Forest Service has gotten back to meetings. We have an upcoming meeting for the Over Snow Program in Plumas. We have the start of the Sustainable Outdoor Recreation Coalition, where I've been asked to be on the steering committee, represent OHV Recreation. And the BLM pretty much is status quo. Nothing much has changed with them. Nothing has changed. Everything is just sort of opening up quietly. There have been, thankfully, no great changes in BLM management. The only thing that we need to watch out for, and that's in various forests, is they haven't done summer hiring because everything was put on hold. So if there are requirements that come from the state for disinfecting, some of the restrooms in managed campgrounds, for example, won't be able to be open because they don't have the manpower to take care of them. And that's around some marina and boating areas in Northern California, but shouldn't really affect OHV Recreation a whole bunch. I have an upcoming meeting to speak with the Secretary of Natural Resources Office. I really would like to meet with them in person, but that doesn't seem like it's possible right now, but I think we get further if we meet in person. But that's at least a step, and the conversation is about Oceana Dunes. So that is our biggest problem right now and our biggest issue. The RTP has not yet been funded, but we did some really good projects the last time, including Friends of El Mirage did work on the lake bed with their RTP grant, and Ballinger OHV area got some new restrooms, well toilets installed. That was one of Bruce's projects. So that worked out really well, and was able to get that. So the RTP, in addition to the grants, really do good work. The budget agreement has been actually announced today, but we don't know the details yet. Everything that we've heard so far is that the OHV grants, at least for this year, have not been affected, and the OHV trust fund has not been affected. But we don't know about OHV grants for next year. There might be a year in which the grants are skipped. That is a possibility, but I don't have confirmation on that yet. As soon as I do, I'll let everybody know, but Kathy's going to let us know if that happens. But so far, we've escaped the more serious aspects of the shortfall, $30 million roughly shortfall for parks and $54 roughly million dollar shortfall for just overall to the state of California. We have received a reduction in money coming into the trust fund because people are driving less. So the money in the trust fund from the gas tax is directly attributable to how much gas people are buying. Less gas means less money in the OHV trust fund, but that's just a simple arithmetic calculation and has nothing to do with money being taken. So we're looking at a 12% shortfall roughly in money to the OHV trust fund. But that also has to do with concession fees and admittance fees and permit fees for 3 months of no events. So other than that, as far as the budget goes, we're looking in pretty good shape. But Oceana Dunes has to be our biggest concern right now. Anyone have any questions?
Before I open this up for questions for Amy, Oceana Dunes, we have that on after Ed Stovins on geothermal. Do you want to go ahead and talk about Oceana Dunes now, or do you want to rest your voice for a little bit and we'll let Ed tell us what's going on down at
I was going to let Jared take that.
Okay,
Jared,
good. We'll do that.
You feel up to it?
Yeah, I can do it. Let Ed can go ahead and do his thing, and then I'll catch up later.
Okay.
There. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Amy. On any of the other subjects that Amy talked about, are there any questions about it? Silence. Okay. Ed, what is going on with geothermal at Octillia Wells? Unmute yourself. Are you still there?
Ed just left. No, Ed left.
Ed just left.
Well, actually, I was talking, so I didn't see that he left, but he left at 7:11. He may be able to call back
okay.
in, so let's just leave it, and then we'll go on.
Yeah, Ed had another person that he needed to talk to about some things and told us he may have to drop off the call. Well, Jarrett, that brings us to Oceana Dunes. I am just fed up with that, the whole mess down there.
I am beyond pissed off, Ken.
I know. So what's going on now?
I don't even know where to start. Okay. These past couple months, we've had back-to-back meetings because because there's no in-person meetings right now. The plus side of that is for a lot of us that have been traveling all over the place to go to these meetings, it's all been moved to Zoom format, and we can pretty much do it from work or wherever. So, let's see. We had 3 weeks in a row at the end of last month. We had Coastal Commission 3 days in a row. Ken was on that. I was on that. Then we had APCD like a week later, and then we had Habitat Conservation Plan, and now we start the cycle all over again. So on Wednesday, Air Pollution Control District meeting, I've been meaning to send sign out to the board just like with the info for it. So APCD hearing is Wednesday, starts at 9 a.m. You don't have to pre-register for this, I don't believe. You just there's a Zoom link on there. You sign on to the Zoom call, 9 a.m. or whenever you want, and then you hit the raise hand. And then when it comes time for public comments, you can give comments. July 8th, 9th, and 10th is going to be Coastal Commission meeting again. And this is the 12 months from last year's big, OHV turnout we had in San Luis Obispo, which was this was supposed to be actually the San Diego meeting, but this is the 12-month mark from the last one. Oceano Dunes is on the agenda again for items 9, 10, and 11, public works plan, summary, and update. So there, from now until they try to pull again what they did last July, so that could be this month, that could be next month, it could be I would assume through the end of the year. I can't press enough how important these meetings are. The Coastal Commission ones are brief. We definitely need more board members. The Coastal Commission one is 3 days in a row, once a month. I literally call in from work, and when they call my name, I unmute it. I do my 2 minutes, and then I sign off. But so the July 8th, 9th, and 10th, the 9th is the biggest day. That's the most important one. If Corva board members or members that are on the call are going to get on and give their couple minutes of comments, it's important to sign up for those this week. I guess you got a little bit longer. I would say by the end of the weekend. They need your comment request submitted at least 1 week before the meeting, for the hearing. We got all kinds of problems. It's super screwed up. If it's not one thing, it's the other. The beach has been closed. Like Amy said, it's still not open for other reasons. But, since the beach has been closed, we've got the strip study out there. We've got the existing monitoring stations. The data that's been coming out has been by far in our favor and contrary to everything that we've been told, which we knew was the case, but we actually have numbers to show it now. So now the argument switches back to snowy plover, that the birds are breeding all over on the beach. So the snowy plover preserve should go through late, the seasonal closure should go through late September, early October. my fear, and I talked to Amy and Ken about this early on, was, you know, God forbid they find a bird out there or someone take a picture of a bird or something, and then the next thing we got, they're going to call for keep it closed because of the birds. And then State Parks was out there doing their work, which was surprising and kind of made me smile that they were actually taking preventative measures to hopefully get OHV out there sooner than later. And that stirred up a bunch of other stuff with Center for Biodiversity, and that was all the stuff that was coming out last week. Long story short, it is super complicated. There's a lot of meetings. I give it to Ken. Ken's been raising hell on a bunch of these over the last couple of months. Amy, Ken, and I were on this last one. Last week, I guess. But the comments help, especially since we're on the Zoom format. You know, normally we get a handful of us to drive to these meetings, but now anyone can get on. And it's still usually about three or four people per day per OHV and maybe a couple dozen. And you can tell our opposition is really stressing on these last couple ones because suddenly there's four or five of them and 20 of us. And they're no longer arguing the facts and the data. They're going after us along the lines of race, and, I mean, personal attacks. My personal feeling is the plus side of this is we know OHV has been discriminating against for years. The precedent has been there. But what we're seeing from these last couple of meetings is they're feeling backed in a corner, and these local groups that oppose us are actually coming out and saying things and publishing things on the record that are quite concerning. And they're proving the prejudice and the discrimination, not just against OHV now, along the lines of race and everything else. So there will be a lot more about that, but I would encourage as many board members as possible to sign up for Wednesday's meeting. I'll send something out in the morning, if not tonight. And then please mark your calendars July 8th through 10th. If only one day works for you, pick it, but the most important day is the 9th. And that's it. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jared. And, yeah, you know, having the Zoom meetings makes it so much easier because you get on, you listen for your name, speak for 2 minutes, and you're done for the day. And it's really nice. You're in the comfort of your home or your office or your car or whatever. It's nice. It works out well. So, any questions for Jared? Anybody have anything to add about Oceana Dunes?
I just want to say that John Kinley has joined the call.
Nice.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm here.
All right.
A little late, but I'm here.
So that's good. Anytime you can make it is fine. We just had Amy's report, and we talked about Oceana Dunes a little bit, the mess that is.
Great.
So we're going to move on. New legislation I have up here next. Amy, do we have anything going on?
We have two bills that we're following, and the first bill that we are supporting is a Brian Jones bill, SB 1024, and that will change registration. Since there is no more red sticker registration, it will change red sticker to a competition registration and instead, and that will allow people to, what we want them to do is register their bikes. CARB and parks are still arguing or working together what the final makeup of the bill will be, but the fact that there will be a competition sticker instead of a red sticker, which was supposed to be the original plan for red stickers, were that they were competition bikes. So this will definitely have competition sticker, and then everything else that is sold will be in the green sticker category. So after 2025, there will no longer be red sticker season. Until that point, there will be. And existing until the 2021 model year, red stickers are, I think the 2021 model year is the last year, that new red stickers will be grandfathered into the green sticker program. After that, CARB is going to use a fleet averaging for all the motorcycles and to hit various targets, and which will go up every year. And they're encouraging manufacturers, for example, to have an electric off-road bicycle in their fleet, which will help average then a red sticker model that doesn't have as good a emissions. So we'll see how that works. The manufacturer signed off on it, so I'm assuming, and the dealer signed off on it, so I'm assuming that they know how to work with this. But so SB 1024 will give more direction actually to the enthusiast to know what to do. We're working with the hunting and fishing community to oppose AB 3030, which is an ASH-CALRA bill. ASH-CALRA is a San Jose area assembly person. And it's sort of aspirational. It's kind of a feel-good, like we need to conserve more land. We're losing everything to climate change. But it gives very few, very little direction on what needs to be conserved, how it needs to be conserved, what land they're going to use to conserve. Right now they're talking about private conservation efforts. So conservation easements are used both in federal and state, so it could be something like this. The problem is it's written very broadly, so that if it went and was enacted in this way, it could actually affect our parks because it doesn't exclude parks. It doesn't exclude any land. It just sort of has this blanket, you know, we want to protect 30% more land. Well, what land and how are you going to do it? The hunting and fishing groups kind of got started on this early, and Kathy works with them as well. And so we went in on a first coalition letter with them, and we're going to do a second coalition letter, which should be ready in a day or two, where we're going to mention a lot more about OHV and recreation opportunities and add it so that it's clear that we object to how this is turning out. We're not sure if it's something that could be then misused, but it would be bad law to just put something in that doesn't have any specificity, that doesn't have any explanation how it first, and also it's projected to cost millions of dollars, and supposedly the assembly and legislature were not supposed to take up any bills that had a high price tag this year. Somehow this one slipped through, at least for the time being, so we're objecting to that. All the other bills have been pushed off to next year, including our reciprocity bill, which we had high hopes for. So we'll review those next year. And we'll see what shape the state is in. The reciprocity bill really doesn't cost anything. In fact, it'll bring a little bit of income in from visitors who do not recognize California OHV registrations in their states. So that's pretty much it with legislation.
Hey, Amy, real quick. This is John. Could I just interject something?
Sure.
Would it be possible? I get a lot of direct messages on Instagram from two-stroke guys, and they're all kind of wondering, a few here and there have heard about CARB updates. Is there any way we can put something on the CARB site, you know, like here's your two-stroke update for CARB and whatnot, so I can steer people to the website and kind of get the synopsis of what you just kind of explained?
Yeah, actually, we did an article about it. It came out in the volume 2 or issue number 2 of the ARIA last year. And I could get to the link to it or copy the article, and it has every threshold, every point, every date that was agreed to. And that was the legislation or the regulation that actually passed in CARB. So I could get you that link. We did put it out last year. And I think I sent it to Drew at some time, too. So I'll find it again. I'll send it to you or copy the article.
Okay, great. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I get quite a few stickers about what's happening with the red sticker. Everybody's curious about that one. Okay. Vinny, what's happening down in the southern half of the state? Got to unmute yourself.
There you go. Hey, this, I had to find it.
All right.
Well, you know, there's really not a whole lot going on down here. I got a couple of emails the last week or so. We're all scheduled and signed up. We have our reservations for both the big shows down here, the Sand Sports Show and the Off-Road Expo. So I've got those. And, you know, other than that, you know, I did get my package of trifold brochures. Those things are pretty awesome, so I'm going to do my best to get those out to some of the shops around here. And I went and bought some. I have some little holders I can put them in, and hopefully they'll put them on their, you know, their counters to put those up. But like I said, other than that, there with this COVID thing, everything shut down. We've already missed we missed one show that we did last year, the Four Wheel Parts Truck Fest thing in Ontario, and that brought in about, I don't know if I remember, $1,500 or something last year. So we missed that one. So you know, hopefully things pick up, but I just been busy doing other stuff. So that's all I got.
All right, Vinny. Yeah, we missed the I missed the skill days put on by Metal Cloak at Prairie City. That got shut down, and that always brings in a couple $100. Hopefully we can get this thing open and we can get out there. And I forgot about the brochures. Amy and whoever worked on that, thank you. What a fantastic job.
Yeah, those brochures are pretty bitchin'. I think they're gonna work out good. So.
Oh yeah, those are beautiful. Those are beautiful. Anybody else in Southern California have anything? Charlie, Jared.
This Drew. I got something.
Okay, Drew.
Well, a week before the Sand Show, there's a show called Off-Road Nights. It was supposed to be in April or May. Got pushed out farther and farther because of COVID. Got pushed to the week before the Sand Show at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. And I believe it's going to happen. Is going to happen the same time as the Fred Hall Show. So that might be a pretty big pull for the, you know, San Diego area.
What's the date on that?
That's September 12th to 13th. It's a weekend before the Sand Show, which is the 17th, 18th, 19th.
I've got it right here. September 12th and 13th. It's called Off-Road Nights. It's by a guy named Rat Salt. I think that's one of Ed Stoven's buddies. I tried to get us to go into that to get Corva there last year, and it just didn't work out. But I'm on their mailing list, and that might be something good to try to get to also. I don't know. It'd be a new.
I'm already in for that myself, so I got a spot. So if anybody has anything they want to bring down, so.
Great.
And I'm not doing it with District 37, not doing it with Big Red Trail Riders, not doing it with Orange County Dualies, any of them. Doing it on my own.
Who are you? You're doing it on your own?
I'm doing it on my own group.
Oh,
I'm filing for my own 501c3, and I've got it going through that.
Okay. All right.
I'll still help anybody who wants to help, but I only help people that want to help me. You know, that's just the way it is.
That's life. Okay, hopefully we can get some people down there to help you out. Keep us up.
I'm open to everyone.
Keep us informed on that.
Is that Ed?
This is Jared. I got
Ed. That. Jared, yes. Go ahead.
Sorry,
Jared.
Okay. So John, to chime in here wherever. I agree with him on the thing. He was talking about the red sticker thing. We need to do, I know everyone's busy, but there's so much happening so fast, and a lot of this stuff is already put in print somewhere, whether it be letters or via social media. But I think we need to do more of the Corva alerts, notices that go out to the members, especially with everything happening on Oceano, and then that was a good call on the red sticker program. So a lot of people have been asking John about that. And then, how they go across to the website. I'm looking at it right now, and I don't see anything for a while. I remember for a while there we were doing them regularly. And then the other thing is, and that could double for going out. We need something to send out to our business partners. John and I were hitting it, super hard for about 6 months. I don't know. I think it tripled. The business partners we have. And now it's a little different. We were lining them up back to back. And then we talked about it with this COVID thing going on, as far as events and asking for money and donations. So the only thing we really did when this thing started was checking in with the companies, going through the phone list and email list and checking in with these guys and asking them how we could, do you guys want to offer sale? You guys want to offer Corva coupon code that we could put out to the 12,000, Instagram followers, just something to help these guys stay afloat. But so we haven't been hitting it. We've got direct off-road, ready to do it, and we've got rugged radios. And John's been hitting both of those for a long time, trying to lock those two down. So, we can do those probably within the next week or two. So we're going to start getting back on that. But if we could double these Corva, I forget what you called them, Corva Red Alert or Corva Alert or whatever it was, something needs to go out to these businesses that are already signed up with us. And then also that we can forward along to these businesses that we're trying to sign up to say, hey, here's what's going on. Because with Oceano and a lot of stuff, actually, there's a lot of doubt out there with, the regular off-roaders right now, whether, even just Oceano can be saved or not. A lot of people are kind of giving up hope. But keeping the people that are sending us the money, the businesses, informed on what's going on, if it's going out to our members, it needs to go out to our business partners as well. That's it.
Agreed, Jared.
Jared, this is Amy. We did, in the beginning, we were doing those Facebook ads. Did you get, I think we did them for 6 different businesses, if I remember correctly.
When this whole thing started and we were all talking, Amy did boost the post for, as we were going through doing promo posts, and they cross over to the Facebook too, we were trying to do, a couple every couple days for the businesses that asked if we could do something, and they offered, or they took us up on the offer. Now, I will say there were a few businesses that said, no, we're good, help out the small guy. But a lot of our business partners are mom-and-pop family-owned businesses. So, Amy boosted the post, get extra exposure for those guys. And I know people were really appreciative.
So can we do something again, to celebrate, opening? Coming out of the dark days.
That's a great idea, Amy.
John could probably talk. I mean, he does most of this stuff. So, he's promoting these guys left and right. So I would leave that up to John.
Yeah. Okay. So John, think about what we can do and how we can do it, because that is a pretty inexpensive way for us to go, the Facebook ads. And it seemed to reach a lot of people, and even I think it's just a nice thing to do for these businesses, because I don't know very many people are doing much for them. And you're right, you know, mom and pop businesses, you know, we have one, so I know how it is.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good strategy. I think it worked out well. It's pretty easy to do. It hits Facebook and Instagram. And I got a lot of DMs from, you know, Go Big Truck Performance, Off-Road, Power Tank, all these guys that I use the hashtag Corva Business Sponsor. And on my side, when I run the Instagram, you can see how many eyeballs you hit on your story. Your story on Instagram stays on Instagram for 24 hours, and we're getting, you know, 850, 1,000 hits sometimes. You know, eyeballs have opened up and looked at that 10, 15, 20 second story. And so that's attractive naturally to our business sponsors, and they don't see that on their end. They just see our story come through. But I've told them a few, you know, a couple guys behind the scenes on Instagram on the direct message that, hey, you're getting a lot of eyeballs on this thing. And they're all to a T. We're just extremely grateful during the thick of the COVID thing. They're like, man, we really appreciate you. You know, respond, you can, they put out a story and then I grab it. And then I put it back on our story and repost it, because we usually have more followers than they do in most cases. And I got a lot of thank yous, you know, saying this is fantastic, thank you. So, yeah, I think that's a good thing to keep going. We're not out of the woods on the COVID thing yet, obviously. And but, yeah, I definitely agree on the Facebook. Let's do that again.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
John, Jared, wondering if there's an opportunity here for us to close a loop with our business partners and our members, or even people that are just our Facebook friends, if you will, if they've just liked us. I heard you say that we get lots of questions. They're wanting to know about the red sticker thing, cars, all of these kinds of things. They're directing it to you through social media. And we should be able to direct them to our website for easy answers. I think that's something we should be able to do. But I wonder if they might not be asking the business partners some of these questions too. What's happening at Oceano? What's happening here? What's happening here? You know, they're getting ready to buy something and they think, you know, am I going to be able to use it somewhere or need a new helmet? Whatever it is, the conversation comes up. Are our business partners equipped with our trifold and stuff like that? Could we become a source for answering those questions?
Yeah, I think it could be possible. Like I said, I'd usually direct them to the website. If we have something on there, I just kind of keep a mental note of what we have on there. I agree with Jared. We need more alerts. Even if it gets a bit redundant, it's just people know, it just kind of builds up the habit. Like, well, I'll go check the Corva site. Just make it an automatic default for people to go to. And we had some of that happening when the COVID thing was hitting. Hey, our campground's open, developed campgrounds, things like that. So we had some answers. You hit on something real quick. Seek and Enjoy takes our trifold, and on every California order they fulfill, whether it be a hat, a sticker, shirt, whatever, they sneak one of our Corva trifolds in there. And I've seen that on Instagram a million times. People are like, hey, I just got my new shipment from Seek and Enjoy, got my cool hat, and they put in a cool Corva pamphlet. And it's funny how right after you see that, you'll see somebody follow you. You know, that was the guy that posted that or got that order. So it's definitely works. It's definitely valuable. I get what you're saying, though. We could maybe contact our business sponsors on the DM and say, hey, if you get questions that you're not quite sure of, tell your guy that asked that question to hit up the Corva DM guy or something like that. Like you said, to kind of close the loop so they're not just out there kind of floating around wondering what's going on.
It always feels better if you can give an answer, too. I feel like they want to be a one-stop shop as long as they're looking at a customer.
Right.
You know, if somebody can find the answers to their questions and the product they want, it's a repeat customer. You built your relationship. So if we can refer, be the referral arm, we kind of close our community a little bit, pull them in closer. I just think you guys are doing an absolutely bang-up job. As somebody who's helping to monitor the Facebook end of things, which is where people kind of just land before they're a little more sophisticated, I guess. But it is amazing to me the exposure that you're helping us get. I get blown by away by this pretty much 12 or 13 times a day, as I have 17 or 18 people who want to be approved to belong. And so you're all aware, one of the things that I'm doing is if they're referred by someone or more than one someone, they pretty much automatically get in. If they are not, I kind of check in their site to see if they're like a real person or not.
Right.
And if they're a real person, is there anything on their site to indicate that they might be at all interested in off-road recreation, motorized? And if I can't find anything, I am often declining, figuring people who are really interested will come back. But if you ever hear of anyone getting offended or that, you know, we don't want it to become a sales site, everybody understands that. And I had a problem one day because I questioned some guy who was really just interested in advocacy. So I just don't want, I'm trying really hard to eliminate anybody who would literally be an adversary who might begin to use our Facebook page as a way to undermine it. And that just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies all the time. Anyhow, enough on that. Thanks for all the effort.
So, when the businesses, when I've seen them on there, they do it on the Corva page as well. So it's a fairly, like, on the Instagram, it's like a fairly complicated, uncomplicated process. So when companies want to, like, promote themselves on the Facebook, they can just go do that. On the Instagram, they don't. So on the Instagram, they flirt with us, right? And we do the same thing, mostly John. John will court date the companies that aren't signed up for months on end, right? So where the Facebook, they can just go on and post things to the public page. On the Instagram, it's this dialogue, right? They'll ask questions back and forth. He'll post, you know, share their stories and as you see them inching closer, and I know it's sad, you'd think these companies would just throw money at Corva because Corva helps them stay afloat and keep their business alive, but it's not the case. You really have to reel these guys in, and what reels them in is the marketing. And it's cheap. You figure what a marketing budget is, a couple hundred bucks a year is nothing. Like, they can't even run a couple weeks of Facebook ads, you know, pay for ads for their businesses for a couple hundred bucks. So when you see companies do that, refer them back to John or refer them back to me and say, hey, you know, you realize, like, we can offer you a great marketing opportunity via the Corva social media. And that's how we sell most of these business, they want to support Corva, but then when they realize they don't have to go through the channels, they can just go through their marketing department, spend a couple hundred dollars a year and donate some product to our raffles. It's a real easy sell for these marketing guys, but it takes a while.
Excellent. Okay.
And then real quick, back on the Corva alerts, and it seems like super redundant to put these alerts out, but they double and triple because you put it out in an email, and then two, it goes out to the business partners, like you said, Diana. So then it keeps our business partners up to date. They can print it up. They at least read it, and they're somewhat up to date on the issues. And then three, John and I can use these things, and we used to use them a lot. When we're trying to fill content or we get a Corva alert email, we can screenshot it, crop it, you know, save the document, and then we use it on the post. And then we don't have to, you know, come up with posts. So essentially you're getting three times your money's worth on putting those things together. So anyways.
Excellent. Thank you.
I just want to add something on Oceana Dunes.
Can we stay on this?
My goal. I'm sorry?
Can we stay on the subject one more moment?
Oh, sure.
Can we change to something else? Diana is a power sports dealer for 40 years. I was the odd one that would talk to people about land use. Most power sports dealers want to sell product. That's all they really care about. And to go in and get any money out of them or to get them to be a business partner is pulling teeth. I know. I did it for a lot of years for a lot of different, for our organization. But something that I think is really important, and I don't want us to miss this boat on, is Jared brought up that, Amy, if we could do a short, sweet, and simple, it doesn't have to be a long deal, that we send every business partner once a month. I'm just take Tony because he lives down the block. Hey, Tony, any emergent file, you know how to do all that. This is what's going on this month, and this is just for you. They have a better chance of reading that than to picking up that ARIA because they're too busy right now trying to pay their bills, take care of their employees, figure out the new laws, what social distance means. You understand what I mean? So I really, and I've promoted this for a long time or tried to, I think that's something very important if, for one, if we want to do like Dana says, where our members will do our job somewhat so, if they're not educated, they can't. But also, even if they're not going to do that because they're just trying to pay their bills, if we give them something easy to read, that's what it's all about right now. It's 4 seconds. If you don't like it, you go to the next page. We would be doing a great justice to them for not only the money they're spending, but, you know, they might pass that on to one of their other business associates and go, I'm not getting anything from Turbo, or I'm not getting anything from Cal 4 Wheel that's specific to me as my dealer needs. And I am from Corba. Maybe you should join. So just a thought.
Thank you, Jim. And I want to chime in on that, too. We've discussed this quite often, and it is very important. Where I would like to make a suggestion is if we have a board member or a volunteer that's a good writer that can check in with Amy once or twice a week for highlights and write these alerts. Amy, we can't put this off on Amy. Amy is already doing way too much for us, but it is needed. So my suggestion is somebody volunteers that's good at writing. That's not me, as you all know. And just call Amy and get an update once in a while. So that's my suggestion. All right. So if we're going to move on, Amy.
Hey, this is Vinny.
Yeah. Hey, Vinny.
I think that to me sounds like that's right down Charlie's alley. That's like what he does.
Is that
Charlie, you're on the call, right?
Yeah, this is Charlie. One of the places where I think we're kind of missing the boat and you know, maybe I can step in there, is especially during this pandemic, everybody's going to their email very often. Everybody looks at their email once or twice a day or whatever, as well as social media. And I think that we should be blasting out that, you know, whether it's an alert or whether it's what park's opening up or, you know, what's the latest. You know, I think that should be put on social media as well as an email blast. And what all the experts are saying right now during the pandemic, we should be doing it, you know, maybe two or three times as often as we used to. So people don't open up their emails all the time, but if we see that there's another Corba one that's on the red sticker, well, I don't have time to read it now, but then they know they'll go back to it, and it's always there in their email. And then they see our branding, you know, once a week or twice a week, as well as on their social media. I think they both work hand in hand. So, you know, I like to say email blasting is cheap. You know, we have the email list. We can keep growing that forever, you know, members and non-members, as far as I'm concerned, and just to get that branding and just to get the message out. And then those emails, or maybe we have a message of a week that goes and lives on our website somewhere, and, you know, maybe a blog. Or maybe, you know, maybe there's different corners of news. But I think that if they look at our website as being the latest for news, I don't know. I've been thinking about that a lot. And I think email, you know, people need to see more emails from us as well as social media posts. That's and we do have an email list.
Yeah. What is... What software do you use for our email blast?
Or do you use the same software. It the Wild Apricot does it all.
Yeah.
So we have contacts on our email list. We have what we call online only, and those aren't members. Those are people that we just have emails for, and so we have on my, and then all of our different members, club members, life members, annual members. So we probably have 4,500 people on there now. But people can unsubscribe to our emails, and I don't know how many are unsubscribed now, but it's not that large. We just, if we just need a campaign, if decide what you want to target and how you want to target, and I think it would be great.
Yeah, so, I mean, absolutely, you know, and I guess that's probably my responsibility would be to get that started, you know, and I can write. But maybe if every, you know, somebody wants to write something on a different subject, make sure it gets in there. Maybe it's, if it's not every week, maybe it's every 2 weeks. And people will come to really depend on that email blast. I know now that I'm doing everything on Zoom and webinars, and I'm kind of really relying on my email, even though I don't open them all up. It's there's a lot of branding going on, as you always, because, and then the old school, a lot of people don't have Instagram and social media, but we need them both for sure. But I think we're kind of, I'd like to see our email list really over time expanded. And that's what Cal 4 Wheel does with all their promotions and giveaways. Is what they're doing is they're just collecting, they're collecting names and addresses. I mean, you know, email addresses is like crazy for how many years, and how hard is that to just send out an email blast to, you know, to keep branding and eventually get people, wear them down, and eventually get memberships, right? So to me, it's kind of, it's not really super expensive. It's just somebody's got to do it. So I'll take that on.
Awesome, Charlie.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it for a while. I think it's, you know, I love Lyst, and I think that there's a lot of power in Lyst, because we don't own our contact information on Facebook or Instagram, but we do own our databases, and we have a lot of control there. So I'll put some more stuff out on that. I've been super swamped with helping all these small businesses lately with loans, and the loans are coming in like crazy, PPP and EIDL, but I'm starting to get a little bit of downtime now, so I think I can work on it.
Jared, let's
add this to our agenda for next month. I like this conversation we're having right here. Let's definitely put this on the agenda for next month, and let's pick back up on this for sure.
Yeah, I think there's a tremendous amount of power within our database, and we just got to keep building it and just put it out there. So maybe I can, you know, put together a team of, you know, whoever wants to blast something out for that week, and I'll just be responsible for, you know, getting it written up, and then we'll blast something out.
That would be great. So if you have anybody that has any information or anything that's happening in their area, we can send Charlie an email, and we can get it out to our members.
Yeah, certainly, besides the political things, I think there's a lot of curiosity about what's open and what's not open. And I think most things have opened now, but people, you know, we don't know. Even if we blast something out on, you know, what's the status of a certain park, and are they, do they have the restrooms working? Is there, you know, enforcement? I don't know. But there's as well as Oceana, and as well as everything. And then we can even do shout outs to our business sponsors as well. Yeah,
right.
We can do. Yeah. I keep thinking about it, put something together, and we'll talk about it more next time.
Yeah, I think shout outs to the business partners is maybe even more key than just to the, you know, to our regular members. I mean, them too, but business partners, they're the ones that have, you know, they're the ones that have the money. So I think that's maybe even more important.
Yeah. Well, in my mind, the perfect list would be, we would have list of all of our sponsors, and of all businesses in off-road would be a good goal, right? Or maybe all, you know, it'd be a good goal to have everybody who has a four-wheel drive or off-road vehicle, but that's a long-term goal. And then all politicians, you know, and why couldn't we shout out a different message to each one, as, you know, with some planning. Yeah, we should have different messages to different people. And that takes a campaign, like Amy says. But I'm kind of familiar with that, so I'll work on it.
Good job, Charlie. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Northern California, Amy, Bruce, Diana, Lori, got anything?
The only thing I wanted to add about Oceano Dunes, because people are scared that it's going to close, all the information I'm getting is that State Parks does not want to close it. How much of it will stay open is sort of the key question. But they are not, at least right now, looking at it. And my request to Secretary of Natural Resources office was, if that is the case, then put that out there. Put that out there to the Coastal Commission. Put it out there to the APCD. They have the power to do so. They have the authority to do so. And set the baseline that this park isn't going to close, because this administration hasn't put that out there. The Brown administration had put that out, that information out, that they were not going to consider closing the park. So we haven't heard anything back yet, but anyway, that was the information I just wanted to add.
Fantastic.
One thing, Amy, I got one thing to say about that. This is true. I thought the California Coastal Commission had the power to do that. They don't answer. They don't seem to answer to anybody.
They do. They fall under the Natural Resources Agency. So there are a few state agencies, like CARB, for example, or the State Water Board, that are semi-autonomous, even more than the Coastal Commission. The Coastal Commission actually falls under the Natural Resources Agency. So if the Natural Resources Agency, the secretary or the governor wanted to say, you know, play nicely and it's enough, they can moderate their stance and stop being such, I'll just say, pain, because I want to be nice.
Obstinate and obtuse.
Good words. But they do have, the administration has a lot of power and a lot of sway in this. So far, this administration hasn't used it, but I don't know what they're waiting for, and we deserve it. You know, we need to know what our baseline is. Like, the baseline has to be, we are not closing this park.
Maybe they're waiting to see which way the winds will blow to keep themselves in office. That might be it.
Yeah, I don't know.
All righty.
Was it anyone in Northern California? Any updates?
This is Bruce. I can give my usual about Carnegie and the Connolly Ranch access easement lawsuit. Like I had mentioned, I think, in the last couple of our monthly meetings, Connolly Ranch appealed a couple of the rulings by the judge. The original court case was a jury trial. The jury's decisions cannot be appealed. Anything that the judge ruled on could be appealed. I think there are like three or four items that Connolly Ranch appealed on. They got negative rulings by the county judge there in San Joaquin County. And the latest thing is the Connolly Ranch is going to another appeal, and I don't know exactly what court. I don't know if it's going to be Sacramento Appeals Court or whatever it is, but basically their appeal says anything that was ruled adverse to the plaintiff, and they are the plaintiff. So Connolly Ranch is not letting it go at this point. And that's it. Sorry for being so wordy.
Mm-hmm.
Ken?
Which Ken?
Clark?
I guess I ought to unmute myself. Thank you, Bruce. I kind of forget with everything going on at Oceana that we have our own nightmare up here with the Conleys, my other favorite people. Okay, so guest, Northern, anybody have anything they're concerned about, you want to discuss, you want to bring up?
Oriya is coming due in August, so people should get ready to have their articles ready in the next few weeks.
Oh, thanks.
Ken, this is Jared. I've got one.
Okay, Jared. Go ahead. Thank you, Ken Hoyer. Jared?
Oh, I've got an article.
There?
Yeah, Ken Hoyer, I got an article for you. Thanks.
Ah,
great.
Okay. Fantastic. If there's no more questions from the guests, we'll move on. Next item is the 50th anniversary. Once again, with COVID, we can't plan anything. And we need a party planner on that. So maybe we can piggyback on the state 50th anniversary, but we'll do something. We'll figure something out. It's, you know, might be 52 years. Anybody comments on that? Anybody ideas? All right. So that takes care of all of our reports and discussions, and it's time to move on to the business items. The first item is Amy's, our managing director's renewal of her contract. As I hope everybody knows, she is pretty much our only person that gets paid other than some graphic artists and that type of things that we farm out and provide a nominal reward for. But without Amy, I don't know what Corv is going to do. She's probably the most knowledgeable person in land use and OHV use in California right now. She's become extremely respected by just about everybody in the business and a lot of politicians and leaders of our different state and federal organizations. So, Amy, do you want to tell us if you want any changes or anything like that, or shall we have a motion to renew her contract?
Mike and I have talked about it quite a bit, actually, and I appreciate Mike's help. It's just a very uncertain time. My connection to Corva and my dedication to Corva, to me, is very important, and I don't feel it's the right time to make any changes. I want us to have a great next year, and we're holding our own, but the goals are to keep on doing more, and that directly relates to then the influence we have over politicians, over the Forest Service, just expanding opportunities, everything that we can do. The more members and the more supporters we have, the more we can do. But I hope everybody realizes that, you know, Bob Hamm and I had an hour-long conversation on Saturday morning, and we could have gone on longer, but he had to get off, and I had a family meeting that we do once a week to keep everybody together on Zoom. But we have been blessed with people, you know, that just have a whole lot of knowledge and a whole lot of information. And I've had the opportunity to learn from Ed for years and for Bob. This isn't something you do alone. This is something you do with a great board of directors that support you. Everybody's input, I mean, Jared's input on Oceano Dunes is invaluable. It just, his enthusiasm, it's just an example how one person can make a huge difference. And I'm lucky enough to get information from all of you and then relay it to the powers that be in state parks, who I'm very lucky do take my calls and do seek my my input and ask for help, which sort of amazes me at times, but I'm very grateful too. I just don't feel this is the right time to ask for anything more because we've got this year to get through. And I'm very cognizant of that. But I remember sitting around Roberta and Jim's kitchen table when we first started this back in 2011. And we had the same questions, you know, how are we going to afford this? And I'll never forget their support and their belief in having a managing director. And, you know, I think about that and I was grateful then. I'm still grateful for their support and everyone's support that had been through the years. Corva means a lot to me. You've invested a lot of my time, a lot of my effort, a lot of my care into making this organization. And I can't tell you how proud I am of everything that we've become and everything that we've managed to do, because I do see a huge difference. And it is a responsibility, for like it or not, for better or worse. Corva is the organization that the state and Forest Service turn to for information about OHV. At one time, there were other people for different reasons. They're not there anymore. But we are the organization, and now politicians as well. So we have a great responsibility to represent this community, and I feel very lucky to do it.
Thank you, Amy. Okay. Would anybody like to call for a motion?
Yeah, before just one do, comment.
Bruce, can I make a comment to Robin?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been involved with Corva for very long. I know Amy has done an excellent job. I don't know how much she makes, but and even in these times when things are down, I hope that somehow we are taking care of her financially. And so I know I don't have any involvement with that. And I know her professionalism and just a little bit of time that I've worked with her. I hope that we are taking care of her financially, even in these hard times. So that's just a comment. And thank you, Amy, for all that you do.
I'd like to make a comment, too. This is Insta-John.
Hey, John.
Hey, I just want to say in support of Amy, she's just the best. It's just a quick way to, easy way to simple sum it up. She's been invaluable. Her professionalism, her acumen, her instincts. You know, interacting with her a couple of times a week on the phone or email or whatnot. Her and Diana were extremely supportive when we started the Instagram. I think that's been a success, and that can continue to be so. But I'm just a big fan of Amy's. She's level-headed. She's calm. She just knows more than I'll ever know about OHV and just crazy state of California. So I am a big supporter of Amy, and I hope that we renew her contract. She is absolutely invaluable to Corva, and along with all of our other board members that also do just an outstanding job. I'm always blown away by the professionalism, the depth of knowledge that everybody has. It's just it's incredible. So anyway, that's just my quick support for Amy, and rock on, Amy. You're awesome.
Thank you, John.
This is Jared. I'd like to add to that. Amy does a great job, and I spend more late nights talking on the phone with Amy about Oceano and land use than I probably do my own wife.
And, you know, I very much appreciate that. She's been very helpful on everything and very receptive to what's going on down here and has given me the ability to do what I need to do and be open-minded to that. And I would, you know, if a motion has not already been made, I would make the motion to renew Amy's contract.
Yeah, this is Mike. I'd just like to make one comment, a couple of comments. Amy and I spoke at length yesterday or the day before, and yeah, we've had Amy basically at the same contract now for the last 10-plus years. And we looked at it, and cost of living, she's due about a 15% to 16% increase based over the 2010. But we also looked at other things, medical expenses, et cetera, since Amy is a private contractor. She does pay her own medical. We do reimburse her. But we looked at the situation, and at this point in time, if we did give her a bump, it would really hurt the monthly premium drastically. Not only that, it would push her into another status, which would also make her out-of-pocket expenses quite a bit more. So I appreciate Amy holding the contract where it is, but we also understand that we're kind of doing it for a reason now, and I would hope that next year or the following year, maybe when other things, you know, change, that we really can look at getting her up there. You know, what you really deserve. Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Ken?
Yes.
It's Diana. Is there anything, Mike, we can do to put some kind of a travel stipend or something in there that isn't tax reportable but is an expenditure for Corva? Because I mean, I know she has an expense account, and I know that she fills one out, and I know she does all of these things, but is there a way for us to give her something more without the impacts that you guys were discussing? And fully understand that, and if not, that's the way it is, and, you know, times are tough for everybody right now, and I kind of get that, but we've had her at this rate for so long at this point. It should be actually embarrassing to us, and I think it actually is, at least to some of us. So that's just a question, Mike. Anything we can do?
Okay. Yeah, and Amy, I think that's a question for you from a tax standpoint. You do your taxes, so, I mean, you would know better, I think, than we would what would help you the most.
I don't know. I think how Mike and I have worked this over the past couple of years is kind of working for both of us. To be honest with everyone, my birthday is a week from today, and I'll be 64. And I'm waiting for 65 to get Medicare and then have a more stabilized health insurance situation. And then it won't be subject to these, but for the time being, I'm on Affordable Care Act insurance, and the rules and regulations are contrary, to put it kindly. But it works. You know, it definitely does work. So
then another suggestion or another question. We've got a 2-year contract, Amy. What if we were to make a 14-month contract instead this time, this go-around?
Well, I have in the contract there, which I've had actually since the beginning, that I can renegotiate. If I ask the board, I can request the board to renegotiate the rate in a year. The board is free to say, no, we want to hold you to rate for the full 2 years. But I do have that in there for the purpose of doing that. And this time period has just been sort of unprecedented, and I know you hear that a lot. but I'm really happy everybody is healthy and well. Really happy everyone in, you know, my immediate family is healthy and well. And what I really want to see more of than anything else is all the businesses thrive, all our members thrive, and Corva to thrive. So I would say let's look at it in a year, you know, sort of table discussion and see in a year we're in a different place.
That's excellent that you have that in the contract, Amy. We should look at it every year, in my opinion. So, Jared had made a motion to approve Amy's contract. So we would need a second, and then we can have more discussion, and after discussion, we can vote on it.
I'll second the motion.
All right. So I heard two people. So are we going to write down there?
Charlie was first, I think. Charlie, that would be
all right.
Yes.
Thank you, Charlie.
Uh-huh. It's well, she deserves everything she asked for. She's great.
All right. So we have a motion and we have a second. Any more discussion on this before we call for a vote? Everybody had a chance to unmute? Okay, I am going to call for a vote to extend Amy's contract for another 2 years. And included in that contract is that we will revisit next year to see what we can do to help her out. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aldo? Anybody opposed? Is anybody going to abstain? Awesome. Amy, thank you for all you do, and thank you for continuing to support Corva and everything you do. I mean, you're awesome.
No, okay. Thanks, everyone.
Next will be, I didn't have any doubts. I was going to hang anybody who didn't, said no or objected. Abstained. All right. Treasury report. Mike, we're doing okay, but we're stagnant.
We're stagnant, but we're holding our own. I sent out all the numbers and no major drama. All of our major expenses are behind us for the year. So unless we get a big lawsuit or something, I think we're in good shape.
Yeah. Awesome. And thank you for taking care of all those books and putting out those fantastic reports that even I can read.
Mike, do you want to give a report on the new second order of T-shirts and how they're almost essentially sold out again?
Oh, God. Yeah, let me see here. Yeah, I don't have that screen up. But, yeah, we got a couple sizes that, yes, we are out of again. So I'm not really sure what Brian's minimum order is. I think we ordered 110 on this last go-around, if I'm not mistaken. So we probably need to look at a small order. But the other suggestion we had was maybe introducing another color. So if we did a big order with another color and then supplemented with the existing color and just filled the gap, it might give us another round of massive sales initially with the new color.
I just want to thank John for, like, shepherding that through. It's been an incredible success. So, John, you've got a great eye, and you know what sells. It's awesome.
Huh. Well, thanks, Amy. I appreciate that. Thank you for all your support, being so supportive about that thing. I did not know that about the shirts already. That's really great news. That's a pretty easy fix, naturally. We can work with Brian and those guys and talk about new colors and whatnot, but that's super encouraging. I saw a lot of play on Instagram. People really love the new design.
Okay. Yeah, any thoughts on another color you might want to introduce?
Yeah, definitely. We can talk about a color. The original one was white, and the Corvo logo was in blue. And I'm a fan of white T-shirts. I'm an old guy, so I like white T-shirts. But everybody seems to like black shirts, so those are selling really well. But we could kind of maybe put out a little feeler out there and kind of see what colors would go well. Maybe an orange, with something on the back. Anyway, we can figure that out. I'm just really encouraged that the things continue to sell so well.
Can we do like a voting thing, like we did with the logo, just to kind of be interactive with the members and get some excitement?
Yeah, that's kind of what I did on a couple things. Is on the Instagram story, there's a little poll, and you can put a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and we could easily put something up on our story or something like that, and say, hey, which ones do you like? I've done that several times, and it's been pretty true to when we did it for the black shirt with the new old school logo. I think it was like 97% gave the thumbs up and 3% said down. I don't know who those 3% guys are. Probably the same guy that goes to the dentist that doesn't approve of Trident or whatever that is. But yeah, easily done.
Okay. Well, Steve Gardner and I confirmed over the weekend. We know where we're at. Like I said, I think there's one size that we are totally out of, and there's a couple that we're getting down minimal again. So I mean, I can figure out kind of what we need to replenish and get us up to a reasonable level. But again, I think we need to supplement with something new to justify the full order. So.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, moving on, we need to approve minutes for last meeting.
Except they didn't send them out again before, so I will send out both sets of meeting minutes before the next meeting.
That's just fine, Amy. I know you've been busy. I didn't think I had seen them, but I had to ask.
No, I forgot. Fine. Because it's actually, this is three meetings ago. It's not the two annual meetings. It's the meeting before that. So completely slipped my mind.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll get us caught up on that as soon as you can.
I got a question.
Okay.
Here. This is Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Why is it that our annual meeting minutes are only approved a year later rather than the next month?
Because the annual meeting is a different kind of meeting. It's not the regular board meeting. So the annual meeting minutes are approved per annual meeting. So it's called differently. It's different in the because it's different in the bylaws. It has its own category.
Okay, because I don't recall seeing anything as to minute approval or whatever, but I'll go back and look and see if there's something that
no,
needs
it's
to be
because
clarified.
Of the category that it's like a Robert's Rules thing, I think, but I am fully open to being wrong about this.
Well, like I say, I'll take a look. And maybe there's something that we can clarify the next time we do a rules change or something. Thank you.
Good point, Bruce. You got to keep this on top of our law bylaws and make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
and that it's clear what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. We need to have clear instructions. Okay. Does anybody else have anything they want to discuss? We're a little early, but we've actually made it through the minutes or through our agenda for today. So,
actually, I do.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know how much time. Let me see what time it is. 8:30. I don't know if you guys touched on what CARB has been up to as far as making life hell for dealers and distributors and people who ride motorcycles or any kind of ATV or whatever, trying to get anything emission-related products. I don't know if you, did you guys touch on that already?
No, we did not.
No.
Okay, because recently, probably within the last week, there's in Powersport Business Magazine, a couple other magazines, a parent company of Revzilla called Komodo. They own Revzilla and they own Cycle Gear. They're based out of Philadelphia. CARB hit them with a $1.93 million fine. I think it amounted to over 7,900 instances of sales, possible sales or pending sales, and items that were listed on their websites for sale that didn't have the moniker not only legal for sale or use in California on non-street vehicles, you know, all the little disclaimers. I mean, not only sales, but pending sales on back orders. They haven't even been sold yet, and on items that were listed for sale. So they got hit with a $250 fine on over 7,900 items. I think before 2017, it was the maximum fine was $500. After 2017, the maximum fine could be $37,500 per instance. I mean, that's just the beginning. They went after them. Cycle Gear and Revzilla and probably now Rocky Mountain Cycle. If you want a two-stroke pipe, no matter what year it is, even if it's a green sticker bike, you can't get it shipped to California. Even if the product's made in California, even if it's in a warehouse in California, you can't get it shipped to California. And if you want a spark arrestor of all things, like say, like I have a 96 CR250, Honda two-stroke 250. Didn't come with a spark arrestor, only came with a silencer to meet the requirements to ride on BLM land, National Park Service land, Forest Service land, kind of a forestry-approved spark arrestor. OEMs never made one. Aftermarket is the only ones that made them. The CARB doesn't allow the sale of spark arrestors, spark-arrested silencers in California, so I can't get a spark-arrested silencer unless I have it shipped out of state and then have a buddy ship it to me if I was to do it online. And supposedly, the distributors like Parts Unlimited, because a lot of these companies, these mail-order companies, drop ship from Parts Unlimited and Tucker and Western Power Sports. Supposedly, they won't. They're so afraid of CARB, they will not ship to California. So I can't be in compliance with federal law because of state regulations in California. And it's a mess.
Correct me or wrong, but isn't the Forest Service rule you have to have a spark arrestor or a muffler?
Yeah, a spark arrestor. I can't get a spark arrestor. I can't be in compliance with the federal regulations. Even with state parks, I'm sure, require spark arrestors on motorcycles. I'm sure Gorman does. And how long till this trickles down to all the local dealers? I mean, if the distributors are unwilling to ship them to California dealers and people in California can't adhere to the federal government's requirements or the state government's requirements for a spark arrested silencer or a dual sport or an ATV or whatever. Unless you can get it from an OEM. A lot of OEMs a lot of red sticker bikes, well, pretty much almost all red sticker bikes don't have them. And a lot of green sticker bikes before 2004 didn't have them.
So, as I understand this whole red sticker thing and CARB and motorcycles is basically they're just bringing you into the world that automobiles are in. I can't buy parts that are not legal for emission-controlled vehicles in California unless there's a disclaimer there, and then it's on me.
The automotive side has been putting these disclaimers in for years. But, Amy, did you hear, you got any insight into this?
It's really, it's I've heard about it. In fact, I think Drew spoke to me about it. But it's not our issue because it's really a aftermarket power sports issue. And our mission is keeping public land open to the public, being the voice for off-road recreation in California. I don't know all the CARB rules and regulations and not being able to get specific parts, but they do. The power sports dealers do have a really good lobbyist, and I don't remember his name offhand, but I can find that out for you, Drew, and you may want to contact them and see, because he's been very active at meetings and his name just slipped my mind.
Yeah, this seems like this might be a vehicle, so to speak, for them to slowly make it impossible for us to comply with rules they impose that we can't adhere to because they won't allow the products that they impose on us. They won't allow the products that they impose, so we can't comply with the rules. Therefore, it makes the bike or whatever vehicle illegal, therefore keeping us off the land. So in a way, it seems like it's going to trickle down someday, somehow, some way, into Corva's realm, from what I can see. It just isn't there yet.
Can I ask a question, please, Drew?
Drew.
This is Diana.
Yeah.
I just went on Rocky Mountain ATV's site, and nothing was stopping me from buying an Enduro Engineering Spark Arrestor, and I definitely put in my zip code.
But is that four stroke or two stroke?
Oh, you're
doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Well, try cycle
matter.
Gear.
Drew,
what it is? Nothing stops you from purchasing it, but they won't ship it to you. Because
yes,
I went through it personally with Cycle Gear. I called them, I put the order in, I put it, and I got an email requesting a phone number to call them. When I called them, they said, "We're sorry, we cannot ship it to California. You need to have it shipped somewhere else, or cancel the sale."
Okay, but can you go to Cycle Gear in Concord, California, and buy it?
No. Drew, this is Jim. Any manufacturer, as Ken said, can go to Air Resources Board, and a spark arrestor would not be emissions related, but they would have to ask for a
executive order.
Okay.
Yeah.
That can
which is a fee.
Drew, you're correct. It's a fee. Welcome to business. Nothing's for free. But you will find there have been people that have done that. But you're talking about them getting sued now. Parts Unlimited got like an $8 million lawsuit long time ago. This is not new. This is old business. And if FMF wanted to spend the money, they could get that executive order for it. It's cost prohibitive. And that's the problem just with the organization, with Air Resources Board. I was a dealer for motorcycles in 1988 and gave it all up because I couldn't sell them because we couldn't do evaporative canisters. And we worked so hard to get those done as a small business, it would have cost $200,000. They make it very prohibitive to do, but it's the way of California. My thing would tell you to find someone who lives in Arizona, have it shipped there, and forget it.
Yeah, I've talked to the aftermarket manager at CARB, and he thought it was, at first he goes, that sounds sort of ridiculous. I mean, why can't you get a spark arrestor in California? You need one, right? I go, yeah, it's your rules. And once he came back and said, you know, oh, it looks like, you know, they need to apply for an executive order on every, not just for the spark arrestor, but for every model, for every year, for every sub model, for every CC range. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of products per every manufacturer.
That's right. Welcome to 2020. It's just the way of life right now. I have a friend who works
for
He cannot sell exhaust. He's their number one salesman in the country, and he went down to like number seven in California. Huh. He couldn't sell exhaust modules. He can't sell a carburetor rebuild kit. Life in California, you know.
Yeah, this is nothing Corvus going to even address, right? So I don't even know why we're even talking about it.
No.
All right, I'm calling the meeting to order, please. All right, so yeah, it sucks. It's California. Yeah, they're going to have to start complying. I have not liked it that I have not been able to buy certain parts for years. I still live in California. Don't like it. Move out of California. All right. Let's.
How long till they go after all the new bikes after 2025? You won't be able to get anything.
I don't know. That's not what we're talking about tonight. So anyway,
of course,
we've actually made it through our agenda, and we're early. So can we go to bed? Anybody want to make a motion to end the meeting?
I make a motion
that we end. You can second it, Diana.
Okay, I'll second Bruce. I was first this time.
All right, all those in favor, say
aye.
Aye.
Oi.
Everybody have a wonderful evening.
Good night, all.
All right,
thank you.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good night.
Bye.
That's exactly why I haven't been there in 6 months. That's exactly why I haven't been on these conference calls in 6 months. Exactly why I won't be on the next conference call in 6 months.